It's the week. It's the week. Shvuah Chal Boy, absolutely. Shvuah Chal Boy, that's right, yeah. I feel like starting with a question you asked last week, and I've got a partial answer, but not a complete answer. Before we actually start with tonight's learning, I just want to complete that. We spoke about the seed, the Zaroinim, the Zecha of the Zaroinim, and the Ramah says that it's Zecha leZaroinim she'achal Doniel v'chaveirav. You asked very correctly. I mean, the Mishnah Berurah does say that Esther also had it because of Kashrus reasons. She had the seeds, and that's what we... Yeah, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, this is my question there.
Oh, was it you? You know what? You can both take credit. Both take credit. It's free. Take credit. So the question was, I mentioned that Esther also ate Zaroinim. So the question is, why do we do it for Daniel? If Daniel had Zaroinim, then why? Seeds. You know, any type of vegetables, basically. It's referring to vegetables, basically. They weren't able to eat any kosher food when he was also in the palace for a while, the pasuk describes, and he wasn't able to eat any kosher food. So therefore, what he ate was basically vegetables. And Zechal is that memory of that, remembrance of that. Some people have the minhag of eating these kinds of foods. The question was that Mishnah Berurah does mention that Esther also had it. The question is, why is it that we do it in Zechal of Daniel rather than Zechal of Esther? Right. Why don't? So all I can add to that is a partial answer, is that Daniel is, according to the Levush, says that Daniel is also mentioned in Megillas Esther, that Hosoch, which is mentioned as one of the advisors, is meant to be Daniel. And the truth is that the episode of Daniel did happen in the times of exactly the same times. So if it was mentioned in the Megillah and it will happen at the same time, it makes a little bit more sense that would be a zecha for him on Purim. It's a partial answer. Okay, I'd like to discuss tonight a very important shailas with regards to Mishlach Manos. First shailas I'd like to ask, can you be yoitza, very important shailas, can you be yoitza with, mentioned briefly in the Mishnah, but I'd like to go into greater detail, can you be yoitza with giving sforim?
No.
Can you be yotze with clothing?
No.
Can you be yotze with? How about being yotze with drinks? Is there any problems with being yotze with drinks? Can you? No problem at all.
Two different types of
drinks. As long as it's two different types of drinks, it's fine. What about somebody sending a shlach monos? Two different examples we'd like to discuss tonight. What if somebody sends a shlach monos before Purim? You send a shlach monos before Purim. And it's being delivered on Purim. Are you fulfilling the mitzvah? Yes or no? And vice versa. You send it on Purim, but it's not being received on Purim. Is that a problem? Yes or no? And another question I'd like to discuss as well, with, can you be yotze? Is there any problems of sending pot noodles as a shlach manos? Pot noodles as a shlach manos? Interesting, Shaila. What? Is he not ready to eat? Is he ready to eat? Not ready to eat? You fully cooked. Just add a bit of water. It was actually cooked sometimes quite a few years ago. Pardon? Oh, send me the hot water. Okay, yes. Good idea. Now, what about, is there, and that's a very important shaila, is there any halachas with regards to the expense? Does it need to be a certain value? Can it be yotze the mitzvah by sending a shlach monot, which costs a grand total of, you know, you can take a plastic plate and you put two bits in it and a few pieces of it, like you break off chocolate piece, you put it there. Can you be yotze the mitzvah with that? Does it need to have a certain value, or can it just be, can it be yotze as long as there's two foods in it? You're yotze.
It has to be a certain
shear. Certain shear. What is that shear?
300
cc? 300 grams. 300 grams. Interesting. Where do you get 300 grams from? Is that something that, because certain weight? Okay.
I have learned that if you're giving it to a hosh of a person, or one should give a substantial...
Substantial. If you're giving it to a hosh of a person, it goes into the chashivas of the receiver.
Yes.
Good. Okay. Very interesting. Okay. I would like to... Yeah.
You mentioned that people used to give over swap plates.
Swap plates. Gemara says it. So maybe they just had a, what was it? Depends on the chicken that was on their plate. Depends on the chicken. Okay, so we'll get to that as well in Mitzvah Hashem. Okay, so these are amongst others. And I would like to mention as well, in honor of my little one who has got multiple allergies, I'd like to mention, what's the halacha? Can you send someone? It's my little one of my children. He's got multiple allergies. He can't have any milky products. He can't have nuts. Can somebody send a person like that? Can he be he's got allergies. He can't eat those foods. Can you, if somebody doesn't, can you give him milky chocolates? I mean, he's not quite there yet, but can you fulfill a mitzvah by giving someone who's got allergies somebody, it's not healthy for him to eat it.
You've got to give something appropriate so that the person that you're giving it to can enjoy it.
So if he can't enjoy it, although others can enjoy it, if he personally can't enjoy it, you can't fulfill the obligation. Is that what you're saying? Okay, good, yeah.
He can enjoy by selling.
If he's business-minded, it's all right. Okay, good. We'll get to those points as well as others in Mitzvah Hashem. I want to start from, I just want to quickly go through this Mechaber Seif Talit and jump into the Mishnah Berurah that we started as well. Chayev Nishlach Chaveru Shtem, so that's bottom of page 322 in our editions. Chayev, person is obligated Nishlach Chaveru Shtem Monos, two portions. The person is obligated to give two portions. Basal of meat, oishal mina cholim or other types of foods. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk in the Megillah, mishloach monois ish lereu, sending to loshen mishloach that's being sent. Monois portions ish lereu, one person to another. Shtei monois, two portions leish echad to one person. So the obligation is to give to one person as opposed to matanis levyonim. The obligation was to we need to give it to two people to aniim. Mishloach monois, you're fulfilling the obligation by giving to one person. Yeah. Yeah.
If you give it from a family name to a family name, are you Yoitzi from your husband's husband or not?
Very good.
From Shmuel to Yosef, or Chaim to. Is that the way you told your one particular one?
Obligation? That would be one. That would be considered one.
Is that from the Kerrigans to the Cohens?
That would be one obligation. That would be one obligation. What's interesting, what you're mentioning, I'm going to just open up this sugya without going into great detail. That's really relevant when it comes to obligation of our wives. Because they also have an obligation to fulfill. They also need to send Mishloach Monos. How is that practically done? And what you are saying is an opening into that sugya, that to from family to family, that would be, if they definitely join for that, they're definitely part of that, and therefore that's a way of fulfilling their obligation. But we'll get to that. But as far as the Shlichos aspect is concerned, you haven't done any Shlichos. If you want to fulfill the Ben Yitzin that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, if you want to fulfill that, that's not a Shlichos. A Shlichos has to be through a third party, and surely one who owns family is not considered. If somebody else within the family sends it, then it's something else. But if it just sent, the fact that it's sent by family, doesn't make it into a Shlichos. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah, if it's sent by the family, that doesn't make it into a Shlichos necessarily. Good, I want to get to that point. Let's get to that. Okay, v'chol amar b'nishloach l'reim m'shubach t'shulchan aruch, on the top line. The more you send, the better it is. V'imein lo imachlev v'imchaveiroi, that's the Gemara. If you haven't got, you can just swap with your friend. You swap meals. So there's nothing wrong with actually swapping a meal. We're swapping meals. And the Rav Yashiv has no problem to recommend that to Yeshiva Bochim. Say Yeshiva Bochim, they shouldn't be hanging around buying and sorting out the Mishloach Monos. He says that they may or not have money. You think about, many families in Eretz Yisrael haven't got money. So they said, the ideal way, if he said, no problem with that. You buy the Purim Suda. You swap meals. Rav Yashiv says, no problem with that. Swap just make sure that, his chicken is a bit bigger than yours. And then you can swap without the problem. You can swap. It's perfectly acceptable. I want to make a shtickel disclaimer to that because it has to do with what the Bialocha speaks about, the Cheshivas that you're mentioning. That's definitely true. I just want to point out at this point, it's definitely true. However, if the person is particularly wealthy, it's a bit more questionable. If it's particularly wealthy, it may not be acceptable, and we'll get to that when we get to the Bialocha. But let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkotten, Dalet Lishlach. In Sifkotten, Yud Tes. Food. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah with bgodim and shari dvorim, with clothing and any other items. The Mishnah Berurah here goes with an approach. Now, I want to just step back for 1 second and just give you background information. It's accepted amongst the achronim that there is two reasons, two approaches why there's an obligation of sending mishlach manas. It's accepted amongst the poskim that it's either, one approach in achronim is that it's either for tzorkei seuda, that the mishlach manas has to be something which the obligation, the mitzvah is to give something which is necessities of food. You're trying to enable others to have the Purim meal. Now, we live in abundance, and I don't really need to come to anybody else's food for my meal. But initially, the mitzvah was made in a way, was created. The mitzvah is really to give, to provide, to supply tzorkei seuda. Mishlach manas is for the meal that is going to come. If you ultimately end up eating it or not, that doesn't make a difference. But it has to be something which really is appropriate to have as a meal. Therefore, you can understand mishlach manas has to be portions of food and has to be meat, something which has to be edible, something which cannot be which is not edible. Now, although this may be very nice, I love sforim and I love clothing, but that's not something which I can eat. So therefore, I can't fulfill the obligation with that because it must be tzorkei seuda. That's one approach in the achronim, and we pass the Mishnah Berurah here paskins like that, that it has to be something which must be edible. In fact, not only it must be edible, but it must be something which is edible now. Like, I want it, and I want it now, type of thing. Something which has to be roi l'achila now, immediate consumption. Therefore, it has to be something which we're going to see soon, something which is cooked, something which is ready to eat, and you don't have to cook, you don't have to fry, you don't have to see to it, you can just eat it on the spot. Something which still needs to go through a process of, you know, what kind of favor is that? You know, you're trying to help me for the meal, but I still have to prepare it, I still have to cook it. You're not really helping me anything. So it has to be something which is ready to eat. That's the approach. There is another, yeah? Yeah. So even if I don't end up eating it, you have still fulfilled your obligation. It has to be something which can be eaten. So that's why sweets, we're going to get to all those details later. I'm just trying to get this approach clear. Sweets and chocolates and cakes, they don't make it through the day. They're ready for consumption immediately because you're just going to eat it, right? Something which can be eaten straight away, if you know what I mean. This is all for that approach, that it has to be something which is roi l'achila miyad. Now, there is another mahalach, based on Rishonim as well, that it has nothing to do with really intrinsically something which is ready to eat. Mishlach manos, the mitzvah of Mishlach manos really is to increase achva v'reyus, to increase the achdus in Klal Yisrael. Because as we know, the tzara, the problem of Klal Yisrael initially, by the times of Haman started, because there was a lack of achdus. Yeshnoi am echad mefuzo mefurot beinu amim, Haman said. And the Gemara says on that he had the point. And they weren't just geographically spread out, but they were spread out in their hearts. There was no achdus. And that's why Haman was able to make all these great tzaros to Klal Yisrael, which eventually didn't happen, but nearly did. So in order to make the opposite of that, we're trying to increase and improve our ben adam lechaveiroi. And that's why we do mishlach manas, in order to make others feel, you know, we want to increase friendships. Therefore, consequently, there's no doubt. You think you can only send food, or you think you can send something else as well, based on that? Anything. According to that mahalach, which is based on the shoinim, and some achronim paskin like that, there is definitely no problem in sending sforim, other things that make somebody happy. There's absolutely no problem at all. As long as you're happy with it, it's fine. So that would be another mahalach in the, we generally tend to be machmir according to both, and we're going to see it makes not enough minutes la halacha. We're going to go through enough minutes. But these are the two basic approaches in the Rishonim and later Achronim. But the Mishnah Berurah paskins on pretty much over here, paskins lechumra, you cannot fulfill the obligation by just sending bgodim and sforim, because you need to make something which is tzorkei seuda. Yeah. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch also baskins like that. Possibly. I do want to mention something which I heard once from Rav Falk years ago in Gateshead. I heard something, and I think it makes a lot of sense. He said once, Halacha Lemaisa, he said something really interesting. He said that if we go into the approach of increasing achvareis, who would be the people that you need to send it to? Pardon? Enemies. enemies. So enemies. So he doesn't go that far of saying enemies, because to get to enemies, that's really hard. Although it's mesugal, we all know that it's goes to school. If you're tough, if you have a very bad relationship, it's a really good time to break the ice on Purim. But not only that, enemies is really hard. But if you've got your, he said that, he was actually saying that the point is your very best friends, your chavrusas and your best friends that you talk to every day anyway, and you're going to fall out with them. He said that's not really fulfilling the mitzvah, because you're anyway best friends. You're not going to, you know, your best friends, your brother, your best friend, your, that's not really the mitzvah, because we're trying to increase friendship. Look how nice Yankel said, Mishlachmanas. I never knew that. He likes me so much. I never knew that. You know, and that is an interesting approach. It's an interesting approach. Now, of course, if the not sending will cause a boigus, then you have to send him as well. But yeah, I think that the point is an interesting point, that you give to Shlachmanos to someone that you don't feel particularly close with. I think that's a nice thought as well, which I heard once years ago from our Falcon Gitzel. Right. Okay. An additional point I'm going to mention at this stage is, what about sending an anonymous Shlachmanos?
Right.
It has to be received. Very good. So the Achronim say, Ksav Sofer, not the Achronim, I believe the Ksav Sofer, Achronim say that it depends very much on that. If it's Tzorkei Suda, if it's the approach of the Tzorkei Suda, you need to prepare for the meal, and you send nice Shlachmonas, edible Shlachmonas, so have you filled the mitzvah, yes or no? You have. It's nice Shlachmonas, it's edible, you can eat it now. It's fine, it doesn't make a difference that there was no name to it. No, no, it doesn't matter. But if the whole idea is to increase achvo v'reus, to increase friendship and to increase shalom and friendships and achtos in klal Yisrael, there's no way you could fulfill that if it's anonymous. You can't. What's the point? I had that 1 year. I mean, I have it, you know, when we, I'm often not here for the Purim Suda. We often go to my shver, and we come back, we see this beautiful shlachmonas, and there was no name to it. And to this very day, I don't know who it is. I'm very keen and eager to love that person, but I don't know who it is. I'd love to give him a thank you for this beautiful shlachmonas, but I'm afraid. I don't know who it is. So there is that element of knowing who actually sent it. And I wanted to say, the Biskarov is very well known. The Biskarov, Zichron Levachem, was well known that he spent time. Biskarov was machshiv every minute of his day. The Biskarov, Zichron Levachem. He was a gewaltige masmid. But on Purim afternoon, before the Suda, I think it was before the Suda, but certainly sometime on Purim, he made a point of going through. I went to the kitchen with the rabbits, and then he said, can you please tell me who sent those shlachmanas? And he made a point of looking at them, who sent this. It was Yankel, this was Moshe, this was Bethel, to go through all the names, and because it was very important to know, to appreciate who sent it. That's something we should also sometimes, you know, we're trying to just quickly pull off the label to give it to the next one. You know what I mean? So we should internalize a little bit before we do that. We have to internalize who sent it, because that's really the idea, according to those many Rishonim, that the Shlachmanas is to increase Shalom and Achdus in Klal Yisrael. So that's an important element. So anonymous Shlachmanas, one cannot be Yotze, according to many, many authorities. Yeah.
Who it's coming from,
yeah. Yeah, can't. It's definitely a good idea to write where it's from, and to make clear that it's not anonymous. Yeah. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, so Mishnah Berurah takes on, he says, absolutely, the shtia is fine. Drinks are fine, and this is generally the minhag of Klal Yisrael, to be yotze with shtia, with drinks. I'm going to emphasize, Mishnah Berurah is fine with it, but I do want to emphasize that it seems to be a machlok as a shoyrim, according to some contemporary poskims, Rabbeinu Chananel, there's a Rambam, that seems like you cannot be fulfilling the mitzvah with drinks, even with choshva drinks, like wine. There is a mashmos in Rishonim. So I think it makes sense. It makes sense based on that. It's a machlokes Rishonim. It probably makes sense to say that one should send at least one or two. A couple of shlachmanos should be sent without, you know, you've sent two food items without counting the drinks. It's not so hard. You just keep cheshvan that many people give nice wines and, you know, wine and a chocolate or something. Just make sure that if you're doing that, which is brilliant, it's very nice, maybe send another shlachmanos or two, which have got two foods, excluding the drink. Just to be, it's all the opinions. But again, I'm just saying that as an additional chumrah, because Mishnah Berurah is fine with it. Mishnah Berurah says that mashke you can fulfill. Rav Eliashiv asks the Shaila, what about soft drinks? Can you fulfill a mitzvah without, if you have a soft drink and a chocolate, is that okay? Or do you need to have soft drink? Okay, so let me, it was a cake and a drink. A cake and a drink.
Yes.
It's fine. Cartons, orange juice cartons, Coke, cans of Coke. Who is into Coke? Diet Coke. Yeah, Coke. Yeah, it's good. So can you be yotz in the mitzvah with Coke? Drinks? No, I didn't see anything about that. Interesting. No. Do you think it can be yotz with
sounds like it.
Yeah, so Rav Eliashiv was asked, and he said that he doesn't see a problem with it. He doesn't see any problem. He doesn't see a problem with it. I'm going to mention at this point over here, the Bialocha. Yeah.
There's a point about two brachas. Where does it say that?
Okay. So I want to get into that, Mitzvah Hashem, because it's a common statement that you need to make two brachas. Yeah, we'll get to that, Mitzvah Hashem. I don't know if tonight, but we'll get to that, Mitzvah Hashem. I want to go now quickly into the Bialocha, because Bialocha is really, really important. Bialocha says, Chai v'shloach l'chaveiroi. Chai Odom, Hoi Chiach men Yerushalmi. Second line, the first Bialocha. They're both very relevant, but I'm going to go to the first one. Chai v'shloach l'chaveiroi. Chai Odom, Hoi Chiach men Yerushalmi. Te'im shaleach le'oshi. If you're sending to a rich person, you're sending a shlachmanos to a wealthy individual, Tova pochus, something which is of little value, ain't no yoitz in mishlachmanos. You're not yoitz in mishlachmanos, exactly what you said, that you need to send shlachmanos to some, so if you're sending to a rich person, it needs to be accordingly. You can't just give to a rich person just that, the cheapest offering be kosher in a paper plate. Wrapped up in a, you can't. If it's a very rich person who lives according to that, it's about the way he lives. It's about a certain standard of living. You have to be a bit accordingly. That's what Michai Odom says. It does say, Mishnah Berurah does, Bialocha says, Ochen Shar Poiskim lo iskiru davoze. Mishnah Berurah does say that many Poiskim are not particularly concerned about that, but he does paskim, v'nochan leizoe bazeh lechatchile, but it's right to be careful at lechatchile. So maybe that's a bit of a challenge, but I think, I don't know, what do you think about it, Abu Sai? What do you think? Does that mean you have to send, my son showed me a shlachmonos, which is £285, advertisement, £285. Does that mean that we have to go around sending shlachmonos, which costs £285? Exactly. Yeah. What does that mean, Meister Abu Sai? What do you think? Is that a real, do we have to, what does that mean? Pardon? Right. So I think that's what you're saying is right. I don't think that it means that much as we think it may mean. I think that if the rich person is still going to be machshiv this, is that he has still some value to him. It doesn't have to be extreme value for that person. You don't have to outdo that individual. You don't have to prove him, look, I'm also as rich as you. So don't think that's what he means. It just shows, he just has to have some value to that person who's getting it. So if a bottle of wine means something to him, so, you're giving that bottle of wine. You can't just give him a little, something which is meaningless to him. That I think that's what he means. That makes sense. It doesn't mean you have to outdo that person. So do you think that makes sense? Yeah? I don't think we have to, what do you think?
I suppose there would be reasons for the person who's sending, obviously, if you can't afford it. I mean, if you can't afford to send £250,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, to give it maybe out a bit differently. I mean, what do you want to say something?
No, it can still be of no value but tasteful.
Yeah, as long as it has some sort of meaning, to him. Yeah, I think that's true. Okay, so that's with regards to the value. So we have to realize Bialocha does say that you have to have some sort of value for the Makabel. He has to appreciate it. He has to have some sort of value to him. Yeah.
Does that mean if you get something that
he has a sweet, you have to give like a piece of something, then, like give something, then it could do like, and if he has to give a collection of bottle caps, then you give a bottle cap. So if he has value to him, it's fine. Yeah, as long as he has value to him. Yeah. Okay, I want to carry on quickly with the Mishnah Berurah, just one more point. V'chein tzegi be'echot oichel ve'echot mashke. So the Mishnah Berurah does paskin that one drink and one food is fine. And Mishnah Berurah does say uve'inon she'emin oichel ha'mevushel v'loy basachai. It can't be raw. raw meat is no good. The mishloach achmonos haroi miyad la'achil mashma. It has to be ready for consumption immediately. V'chein yishoyimim kimin shu shochet v'roi le'ispashal miyad shochet. That's it. There's some opinions hold that the fact that it's shochet, that it's shechted meat, it's slaughtered already, and now all it needs is to be cooked. So some say that it's fine, but the we don't pass like that. Generally, the general understanding is that it needs to be cooked in order to be out of the mitzvah. Just going back to the pot noodles. Pot noodles, Rabbi Yosef, what do you think about that?
It's not ready to eat.
Not ready to eat. Can't fulfill the mitzvah. It's okay. It's right to eat. That needs to be eaten up. Yeah, what do you think? Pot noodles?
Quick and easy.
So you don't want to give it. If you pour the water in already, you know it's going to be. So the Maisa, yeah, and it's going to be, yeah. So the Maisa, Rav Eliashiv says it's actually fine. Rav Eliashiv is fine with it because he considered it because it has been, it's been already obviously in the manufacturing process. Been obviously, it's cooked already, no doubt about it. It looks at it much more as heating it up rather than actually cooking it, and consequently, it says you can be yotz the mitzvah without the problem. Rav Eliashiv is fine with it. Okay.